In obedience to your will, my Father, I baptize my sister in Christ in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In obedience to your will, my Father, I baptize my sister in Christ in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Son of the Holy Spirit. I know y'all were applauding for me just then, right? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, it's so good to be in your house today. I thank you, God, that you're still changing lives, you're still saving souls. And I pray, God, that you'd open our hearts for what you have for us today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you'd stand with us and join us for a call to worship this morning, O Come All Ye Faithful, hymn number 89, hymn number 89. Hymn number 88, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Sorry, guys. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to gather in this place. God, we're so excited to be here. We thank you for these new lives in Christ. We thank you, God, that we had a small part in that. God, we thank you for Jesus, that he's still changing hearts and lives. And God, we pray that we'd see that happen in this place today. Open our hearts and minds. God, use this day for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Well, I'm still running. Just give me a second. All right, a couple of things. Sunday's always a busy day around here. And we're doing children's play practice and Awanas and all that stuff. So if you have a child, please make sure you're here when you're supposed to be today. Ladies Bible study tomorrow night. The ladies meet downstairs in the conference room. Our Golden Age group is having lunch on Tuesday. You're invited. I think we decided what age? Is it 50? 55? 50 and older. So anybody that age can come. That'll be on Tuesday. On Friday, please be in prayer. We've got a mission group going up to Rose Hill, Virginia. I wanted to get this in the bulletin, and I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but this backpack ministry that they started about 6 years ago, I think the first year they collected somewhere around 4,000 backpacks. This year, across our state, North Carolina Baptist collected over 17,000 backpacks. And they are going to be delivered to the 100 poorest counties in our nation, starting in North Carolina, works all the way up to Pennsylvania. And we've got a group going to deliver some of those in Rose Hill, Virginia. If you're part of that trip, we're pulling out, you told me, 8:30, right, to go. It's about a six-hour ride. So please be in prayer for us next weekend as we minister to the good folks there. Church conference next Sunday. Also, if you are able to help with the toy store, this is a way that folks in our county who maybe can afford a little bit but not a lot for Christmas, it's a way for them to shop for their kids at a reduced price. So what happens is the churches in our association donate toys, brand new toys, and then those folks get to come and shop at a reduced rate. So if you can help with that, just go toy store shopping. That's fun. I love going toy store shopping. It gives an adult an excuse to try everything. So go try some stuff, especially the loud stuff in Walmart, and pick up some of it and bring it here for next next week. We're also receiving a Lottie Moon Christmas offering. We went to pull out our Lottie Moon materials, Sherry and I did, on Monday, and we didn't have any Lottie Moon materials. But I got them yesterday, so those will be in your bulletin next week. But all during the month of December, we'll be collecting. This goes to help support our international missionaries all over the world. There's about 4,000 of them, and so they need our help. You got a note about Christmas cards. And just kind of so you know, on the 22nd, our choir's going to be doing some special stuff that morning. And then the kids are doing their program that night. And then we're all going to go over to the Life Center and have fellowship time together, bring your favorite Christmas goodies. And that's going to be our Christmas celebration, so I wanted to get you aware of that. We will be having Christmas Eve service on that Monday. Tuesday. Thank you. Christmas Eve's on Tuesday. We'll be having Christmas Eve service in here that night at 7. And then we have a fifth Sunday this year to close out December. That means we will do communion that day. And we also will take up a special offering for our building fund. So that kind of gets you set up for December and what's going to be happening around here, at least some of the stuff. So I know we have guests today. Some of you came to support those that were being baptized. Thank you for doing that. It's an important day for them. But if today is your first time with us, David's got some information for you about our fellowship. Everything is yours except that little white card. If you would fill that out and hand it to somebody before you leave today, we just want to write you and thank you for being here. So let's all stand. We'll give you a chance to greet each other in just a moment.
Well, let's join together in singing the first verse of 361, "We Have Come Into His House." Then we'll get greet those around us. 361. Standing and take your hymnal, turn to hymn 122, "Tell Me the Story of Jesus." We'll sing the first verse only. First verse only.
Got all the announcements in. There's one more thing. Our youth group will be leaving at 5 o'clock on Thursday to go work at Operation Christmas Child. You got room, Jinx? If they'll always take more. If a couple of you adults want to go, that'd be okay too. Our Union Baptist Association has two or three nights that they take. We will take over 600 youth from our association to work up there. And if you've never done it, I want to invite you to do that. Talk with Jinx after, and it'll be a lot of fun for you. Let's bow for a word of prayer. God, we thank you for your mercy. That was new when we got up this morning. God, for the blessings, those that we know about and those that we don't. God, we can see with our eyes the things that you do for us. But God, there are a lot of things that are unseen that you do for us that we won't know about until we get to that place. So, Father, we thank you for those. Receive our gifts and our offerings today. Use them for the glory of your Son. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Get all the kids come down. Oh, we're thin this morning. Good morning, kids. How are you? Everybody good? Charlie, you good? Quiet today, Charlie. Hey, we're going to start our Christmas kids sermons today. And I need you to tell me something important. What was the important thing that the shepherds did? Can somebody tell me what the shepherds did?
They followed the star.
They did. They followed the star. That's great. What did they follow the star and find? Anybody else know?
Jesus.
Jesus. He was in a manger, right? Well, let's change gears a little bit. Do you know the job of a shepherd? Do you know what the shepherd does? What?
Take care of the sheep.
Takes care of the sheep. You're exactly right. And do you know, Jesus is the shepherd to us. We're the sheep for Jesus as the shepherd. But you know, there's three jobs that a shepherd has to do with sheep. Okay? They herd them. Y'all know what that means? When they herd them, they gather them together to keep them from running off. The second one is they tend to them. So they make sure they get fed, they get watered and get food. And the third one, they protect them. So they protect them from wild animals and keep them safe. Do you know that's funny? Because that's the way Jesus does us. You know, when Jesus herds us, he gets us together and brings us to church. He herds us around. And the second one, he tends to us. Through your parents, he tends to you guys, and they feed you, and they give you shelter, and they take care of you. And the third one, do you think your parents protect you? Yeah, Jesus protects you through your parents as well, especially through Jesus' love and Holy Spirit. So, you know, the Bible says that Jesus is my shepherd, and I shall not want. If we trust Jesus every day and follow Jesus in all that we do, then we're going to be the sheep, a true sheep to the shepherd of Jesus. Okay? So we got to give Jesus everything we do. Just love on him all with all we got. All right, let's pray, okay? Next Sunday we'll do something different on the Bible story. I mean, on the Christmas story, okay? Father God in heaven, we thank you for loving us. Thank you for these kids, Father God. Father God, thank you for this church. I pray for the unity of this church. And Father God, as we pull together and try to do things with one another. And may the Christmas joy, Father God, just be surrounding us. And we just love one another and be there and just grow closer, Father God. And may we just take care of these kids and nurture them, Father God, as the shepherd would do the sheep. We just love you, Father God, for what you do for us, your grace, your mercy. And Father God, just help us continue to be a lighthouse in this community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As with gladness, men of old, hymn 117.
Thank you.
Great job, choir. Thank you. Well, I know that we are well past Halloween, and we've passed Thanksgiving now. We're hurling toward Christmas. But I found a thing in my files yesterday that I want to use to introduce the sermon today, and I just want to read it to you. It says, a woman asked her coworker, what is it like to be a Christian? The coworker replied, it's like being a pumpkin. God picks you out of the patch. He brings you in and he washes the dirt off of you. Then he cuts off the top and scoops out all the yucky stuff. He removes the seeds of doubt and hate and greed. And then he carves you a new smiling face and puts his light inside of you to shine so all the world could see. Now that's a simple illustration. And I know it's a few weeks late, but that is a picture, isn't it, of what it's like to be a Christian. He gets us in the middle of our sin, in the middle of our mess. He comes and washes us up, takes out all the nasty stuff, paints a new smile on our face, puts his light inside of us. You know, when you read the story of Jesus, it's very interesting because people were attracted to him. Even a sinner like Zacchaeus climbed a tree just so he could see him and invited him over to his house. The Pharisees, who didn't even like Jesus, invited him over to their house to have a conversation. He was very engaging to those who were seekers, like the woman at the well and the rich young ruler. He was a unifier. Think about the folks that he had in his circle. I mean, could you imagine trying to get a fisherman and a tax collector and two guys called the Sons of Thunder and a zealot to all work together? I mean, it's amazing what he was able to do. And we ought to be the same way. Folks ought to be attracted to us. You know, the word Christian means literally, it means little Christ. The first time it was used was in Antioch. Excuse me. They saw these people in Antioch and they said, those people act just like that guy that called himself the Christ. They must be Christians. They must be little Christ. I have said this for years. If we, as his disciples, if we lived like he lived, if we spoke like he spoke, if we loved like he loved, our churches would be filled to capacity on Sunday for no other reason than people would just be curious. They would want to hang out with us and see why we are different than most of the world. The problem we have, the reason our churches are not full on Sunday, is that we act just like the world. And so there's nothing attractive about us. But if we were like Jesus, everybody would be attracted to us. Let me show you what I mean. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11. For those of you that don't attend here regularly, we have been working our way through Luke for most of the year. I think we've probably got another year left in Luke. But we have made it all the way to chapter 11. And we are starting with verse 33. Jesus is speaking here, and he says this, no one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket. He puts it on a lampstand that those may come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is also full of light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness, or doesn't become darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part of dark, then the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. And as he spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. And so Jesus went in and sat down to eat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that Jesus did not wash his hands before dinner. Then the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees, you make the outside of the cup and the dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, Did not he who made the outside also make the inside? But rather give alms of such things as you have, then indeed all things are clean to you. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe the mint and the rue and all manner of herbs, and you pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and the greetings in the marketplace. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like graves which are not seen. The men walk over them and are not aware of them. Then one of the lawyers answered and said to him, Teacher, by saying these things you reproach us. And he said, Woe to you also, lawyers, for you load men up with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. In fact, you bear witness that you approve the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed kill them, and you build their tombs. Therefore, the wisdom of God also said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute, that the blood of all prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. From the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple, yes, I say to you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe to you, lawyers, for you've taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering you hindered. As he said these things to them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to assail him vehemently and to cross-examine him about many things, lying in wait for him, seeking to catch him in something he might say that they might accuse him. Father, help us today as we study your word, and again, prepare our hearts and give us courage to respond in a way that would honor you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here in this passage, Jesus is telling us to be more like him and less like the Pharisees. And there's a lot in this passage, but I'm just going to give you three things out of it. The first thing he says is that we must take care of the light that is within us. Jesus said to his disciples, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. He tells them, first of all, don't hide your light. No one, when he lights a lamp, says, puts it in a secret place or hides it under a basket. No, he puts it on a lampstand. Listen, if you're a Christian, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, everybody ought to know that you're a Christian, right? The people you work with ought to know. The people you go to school with ought to know. The waitress who takes your order in the next 45 minutes ought to know that you're a Christian. Now, that doesn't mean that you go around preaching to everybody. There's a place for that. There's a time for that. Sometimes it's a good thing to do that. But I'm talking about things like showing up at work on time with a smile on your face. I'm talking about being at school and showing respect to those who are in authority over you. I'm talking about when you're at the restaurant in a few minutes, being kind to the waitress and leaving her a good tip. You know, my waitresses, when I was managing a restaurant, they hated to work on Sunday, not because they wanted to go to church, but because the Christians, they said, complained all the time and they didn't tip. I had a Christian one time told me, well, I leave them a track. I said, let me tell you what happens with that track. As soon as you leave and they find out you didn't leave them any money, that track's going in the trash can. I said, you want them to read the track? Put a $20 bill in it. That hurt. But the point is, if we're just being normal Christians in today's society, we ought to stand out like light. Because our society's getting darker and darker. The darker the darkness, the brighter the light. Here's the problem. We have to be protective of our light. Jesus says the lamp of the body is the eye. Protecting our light first starts with what we look at. They did a survey at Promise Keepers some years ago. Now, some of you don't know about Promise Keepers, but it was a men's organization. And the men who came to Promise Keepers were working on their marriages. They're trying to be better husbands, better fathers, those kind of things. That's why you would go to a Promise Keepers event. But they did a survey, and they found that 50% of the guys at Promise Keepers had looked at pornography the week before. Now, these are Christian guys. These are guys working on their marriages, working to be better fathers. These are trying to be better men. Excuse me. And half of them were looking at pornography the week before. Can I tell you? Their light's going out. Because what they put in their life, in their eyes, what's coming through their eyes is dimming the light. But that's not all that Jesus is talking about. What books do you read? What websites are you looking at on the web? What music are you listening to? What TV programs are you watching? Would you be okay if Jesus were sitting on the sofa beside you when you're watching TV? Tell you a funny story. Now, you guys know me in country music, right? I don't listen to country music very much because it just depresses me. But, you know, I'm with my family at the beach, and they're all country music people. And Garth was on. Live concert from Yankee Stadium. And he started singing that, "I got friends in low places." It's a catchy tune, right? Have you listened to the words? Jesus wouldn't be happy sitting there listening to that. Because all the things he's talking about are things that are incongruous with being a Christian. You see what I'm saying? We have to protect those things that come into our mind. Those things we read, those things we look at, those things we listen to. Because our main job is to be like Jesus. And we can't do that if we're not doing the things that he would do. Now look, in the next part of the story, we find that one of these Pharisees, one of these guys that doesn't like him, doesn't believe he's the Christ, he invites him over to his house for lunch. Because he wanted to spend time with him. And listen, the world, those folks that are lost that you know, in fact, you ought to know some lost people. One of the things, we can't win the lost because most Christians don't know any lost people. Yet you got to be cultivating some relationships with folks who don't know Jesus like you know him so that you can get opportunity to share them. You have to earn that right. If they know that you're their friend, then when their friend tells them something, they're more apt to listen to it. And by the way, some of you are saying, "Well, I don't know how to do that." We've got some little cards down here that'll help you with that. All you have to do to your little friend, to your friends, is say, "Look, there's a website. It's on the back of this card. If you have any questions about what the Bible says about stuff, here, let me give you this card. And when you get home, you can go to this website." And there are videos that will teach you about Islam and about what God thinks about abortion, what God thinks about homosexuality, any of that stuff. It's in the Bible. And just hand them this card. And then, oh, by the way, if you ever want to explore church, there's my information on the other side. And you can let them do that. That's just my little commercial for the day. So anyway, Jesus is having lunch with the Pharisees, and the Pharisee notices that Jesus didn't wash his hands before he ate. Drove the Pharisee nuts. Because in the law, every law-abiding Pharisee always washed his hands. Jesus says, not only must you take care of the light, you have to strive to keep your soul as clean as you keep your body. He tells this Pharisee, you're pretty good at cleaning the outside of the cup, but the inside's dirty. Now, I'm a two-shower-a-day person. I like to take a shower in the morning, and then I come in the afternoon, take another shower. For me, it's like starting a brand-new day. I was coming home yesterday from the place in the mountains. Oh, I'm sorry. I was back there for a minute. I was coming back yesterday from the place in the mountains, and I came home a little early because we have somebody in the hospital, and I wanted to make a hospital visit. And my wife said, "Are you going to go by the hospital on your way in?" I said, "Oh, no. I got to go home. I got to take a shower. I got to put on some different clothes. Because when I go out, when I go to the hospital especially, I want to look like the preacher of Philadelphia Baptist Church." And these Pharisees were the same way. They wanted everybody to see them obeying the law. They wanted everybody to see them looking the part. But he said, the problem is, you look the part on the outside, but your heart's not right. And he gives them two reasons. He says, first of all, greed. And that word means to eagerly grasp or to rob. I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago. These Pharisees had a scam going with the priest. So you would bring your turtle dove or your lamb to be offered as a sacrifice, and the priest had to inspect it to make sure it didn't have a spot or a blemish, because you couldn't offer to God something that wasn't perfect. And you know what? They always found a problem. So what they would do is they would say, I tell you what we'll do. We will buy your lamb for this amount of money, and if you'll give us just, you know, $5 more, you can go around here to the back. We've got some pre-approved lambs that you can have. And so they would buy this guy's lamb. The guy would give him $5. Then they would take this lamb around the back and put it in the same pen where the pre-approved lambs were. And they were stealing from people. And Jesus said, you can't be doing that. That's greed. You're robbing them. But see, it's not only a problem for Pharisees. It's a problem for Christians today. Christians ought to be the most generous people on earth. God's blessed us so much. You know, think about what we have waiting on. We're supposed to be laying up treasure in heaven. We can't even get Christians to tithe, much less give an offering. I tell you, what if Christians just tithed? We wouldn't have to worry about church budgets. We wouldn't have to worry about our children's home. We wouldn't worry about our missionaries. Nothing. Everything would get taken care of. We ought to be generous. The other thing he talked about was wickedness. While these Pharisees were good at tithing, that's something people could see, they failed in things like justice and love. Let's talk about justice for a minute. As followers of Christ, it ought to bother us when we see injustice. Now, injustice means that you're treating somebody differently than you want to be treated. Now, I'm going to get personal here for a minute. That goes for when we see somebody being mistreated because of their race. You shouldn't be telling racist jokes. I know you know a lot of them. I know a lot of them too. You shouldn't be telling them. I was at my family thing this week, and a guy that I admire greatly made a racist joke just off the cuff. Broke my heart because I admire this guy greatly. Don't be doing that. We shouldn't want people to be mistreated because of their legal status. Now listen, I know. We got borders, we got laws, all that kind of stuff. But when those people come here, whether they're legal or not, they shouldn't be mistreated. We need to be loving them and taking care of them. All they're trying to do is get a better life for their family. You don't mistreat them because of that. We need to not mistreat people because of their economic status. Do you know that guy who's standing with that cardboard sign there at the stoplight? Do you know that guy was created in the image of God? Do you know that God knit him together in his mother's womb? Do you know that Jesus loved that guy so much that he died on a cross? He let him put nails in his hand, let him put a crown of thorns on his head because he loved that guy and wanted to have a relationship with him. You be careful how you treat him. And we shouldn't mistreat people because of their sexual confusion. And I call it confusion. We have to stand on what God says and what the Word says and what our biology tells us. To do less is to do them a disservice, but we should not mistreat them. We should not be making jokes about them. We shouldn't be laughing at them, because our ultimate goal is to bring them to Jesus. The Pharisees were good at tithing. They knew the law, but they didn't know anything about justice. Jesus said they also passed by the love of God. You have to understand, there is nothing more important in a Christian's life than to love other people. Jesus said, by this you will know that all men are my disciples if they have love one for another. It's not because we come to this place every Sunday. It's not because we do a lot of generous deeds. It's not because we send people to the mission field. It's not because we're kind. The way that they know that we're Christians is by our love for each other. Most of you know, over in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul takes this a step farther. He says this, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a sounding brass." Any of you ever have a kid that played the trumpet? I used to play the trumpet. My dad hated that thing. We become as a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. There was an episode of Andy Griffith where Barney bought some cymbals. Do y'all remember that episode? He had Andy to close his eyes and he got up behind him. Boom! Hit those cymbals. I thought Andy was going to have a heart attack right there. They didn't show us his pants. He said, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, if I speak eloquently, if I understand all languages, but I don't love people, I'm just like that. I'm just making noise. I've been down in Honduras and be sitting with some folks that I dearly, you know, I'd only known them 2 days, but I'd be deeply in love with them. And I'm trying to communicate and the language got in the way. And I thought, oh, if I could just speak Spanish. I was in the hospital one time and there were two family members with this family who were deaf. And the doctor came in and he was telling us about the surgery. And these two deaf folks over here didn't understand a thing that was going on. And I thought, oh, if I just knew sign language. Paul says, if you know every language in the world and you can communicate eloquently, but you don't love, it's a waste. In another verse, he says, though I have the gift of prophecy, though I understand all mysteries, though I have all knowledge, if I had enough faith to move a mountain, but I don't love people, I am nothing. The most gifted preacher, if he doesn't love, is worthless. The brightest scientist without love is nothing. The most knowledgeable Sunday school teacher without love is nothing. And even if you have great faith, but you don't love, it's a waste. It's an old saying, but it's true. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. We had kind of an interesting discussion. You know, when you're on vacation, you kind of let your guard down and you have discussions that you don't normally have. And we were talking about our family and, you know, my wife said something that kind of hurt my feelings initially. She said, you know, we're kind of average people. We're not real smart, none of us except Emma. My granddaughter's real smart. We're all counting on her to pay for our rest home. But we started talking, you know, we don't have any fantastic abilities. None of us play an instrument or anything like that. You know, none of us got all A's. I made straight A's all the way through school. My B's and C's were crooked, but my A's. She said, we're not really extraordinary in any way. And then this thought hit me. I said, well, I think we love people better than most. I think we love people that a lot of other people won't love. And Paul said in his writings, I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how good looking you are. I don't care how much faith you have if you don't love. You're not going to win people to Christ. He said, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, profits me nothing without love. You know why that is? Because it's easy to write a check. It's easy to give money. It's easy to whip out your debit card. It's easy to provide for a missionary. It's a lot easier doing that than to be a missionary. It's a lot easier to write a check to the community shelter rather than going passing out mashed potatoes. He says, if you give everything to the poor, but you don't love them. My wife and I attended this little church in Lancaster. I won't tell you the name of it. The names have been changed to protect the guilty. But we were in this little church, and they were very generous to this little orphanage. I had never been to it. It was in another state. But they gave money almost every week to this little orphanage. I thought it was the greatest thing, and I got to give to it. Well, one day, the kids from that orphanage happened to be going through Lancaster. And they decided to stop by this little church that always sent money to that orphanage. And their bus pulled up outside. We didn't know they were coming. And they started getting off the bus. And they weren't the right color. And some of our folks had a fit. What a terrible witness. I don't care if we paid for the whole orphanage. I don't care if we built all the buildings. If we don't care about those kids, what a waste. Last one. Though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. He said, even if I martyr myself, without love, it's nothing. Now Jesus said, wait a minute, it's not an either or thing. You can't love and then not give your tithe, or you can't tithe and not love. It's a both and thing. We got to take care of the light within us. We got to strive to keep our souls as clean as our body. The third thing, we must guard against being prideful. Jesus said, you Pharisees, you love the best seats in the synagogues and the greetings in the marketplace. Jesus said, he that would be great among you must learn to be a servant. One of the things I love to do on vacation is stop by little churches. And because we were in the mountains, there were a lot of little churches. You know, you couldn't go more than 2 or 3 miles without passing one of those little mountain churches. And I love them. And I learned a lot. I got a picture on my phone, this little white church, and I thought it was so gorgeous. And I've taken pictures, and then I went around to the side, and the gutters had things growing in them. And I looked down at the foundation, and the foundation, part of it had washed away. And I thought, this little church, and I know they were still meeting there. I looked in the window, and they're about to let that little church just fall all to pieces. And what a waste. But on the way home yesterday, I passed by this little church. Some of you saw my Facebook post about the sheep always show up for feeding time. And I posted on Facebook, and I said, I hope my sheep show up tomorrow, feeding time. But I rode up in the parking lot of that church, and you know how we got little signs out here, and they had a sign by the parking place that was closest to the church. It said, parking reserved for the pastor only. That made me mad. Because the pastor ain't supposed to be parking in the best parking spot. His parking spot ought to be out back. See, here's what I know. If you're going to be a leader in this church, the best way to go up is to go down. See, our pastor, I'm the last person served at the church fellowship. If you're a deacon, you're more apt to be repairing the toilets than you are getting the best seat. Because the way to go up is to go down. You're supposed to guard against pride. We're not supposed to let our pride get the best of us. You know why? Because that pride's what made the devil the devil. We got to guard against that. Well, there's a lot more in this passage. We're not going to get to it today, but it's the time for decision. Let me ask you some questions. How are you doing at protecting the light? Are you careful with the things you look at and the things you listen to? How clean is your soul? You spend a lot of time in the morning taking care of your body. How much time did you spend this week taking care of your soul? And how are you doing at learning to serve others? Let me tell you some stuff about servanthood. Because every time I think I got it right, I get it so wrong. I came home early yesterday. My family is probably traveling home right now. And I showed some pictures of the place we were staying. It was a four-bedroom house. It was gorgeous. There was a little mountain stream back behind there. And you know you're in a good place in the mountains because we had to go up a dirt road to get to it. It was so peaceful and so wonderful. And I hated coming home yesterday. I wanted to stay with my family, but I had stuff to do here. So I left them behind. I'm not feeling too good about traveling. And I had not got in my driveway when my phone starts blowing up. People texting. You think you could take me to the grocery store? Do you know where I can get some help for Christmas? And it was like one right after the other. Boom, boom, boom. Texting on my phone. I guess they didn't know the Tar Heels were playing at 7. This being a servant thing is inconvenient. And it's hard because your pride gets in the way. And if you think you're a good servant, just see how you react when somebody treats you like one. And I had to repent all over again yesterday. Just thought I had this servant thing down. So after church, I'll be taking somebody to the grocery store. While you guys are napping. You know why? Because I want to be more like Jesus and less like the Pharisee. Because if we don't love people and we do all this other good stuff, it's worthless. People were attracted to Jesus because they knew that he loved them. And I want people to be attracted to us. And they will know that we're his disciples by our love. Let's stand. Father, if I were you, I would have given up on me a long time ago. I'm such a slow learner. And God, there are times when my pride gets in the way. There are times when I look at things I shouldn't look at, and I listen to stuff I shouldn't listen to, and my light gets dim. And there are times, God, when I want the applause and I want the best seat. And God, I pray that you would break me in those times. Mold me more into the image of your Son. Because my goal, Father, is to bring people to you. And I can't do that if I've got pride. I can't. I can't do that if the cup is dirty on the inside. I pray, God, that you'd help us to be more like Jesus and less like the Pharisees. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.